Okay, so we are gathered together with brothers and sisters, and we are going to ponder and talk about and partake of the Lord's Supper today. And I thought, since it was my turn to kind of bring it and offer it, I wanted us to consider and talk about the first Passover. I think that the first Passover that happened in Egypt is a beautiful archetype of what we partake of today, the Lord's Supper. And so I want to read from Exodus 12, 1 through 13. And there's like a whole bunch of meat in here. We could spend a long time, but I'm just going to pull out a couple of things as we ponder this. So let me read from Exodus 12, 1 through 13. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take unto them every man a lamb, according to their house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two posts and on the upper door posts of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roasted with fire and unleavened bread and with bitter herbs, and they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with the water, but roast with fire its head and its legs, and with the purtenance thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning, ye shall burn it with fire. And thus shall ye eat, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. So that's kind of an account of the first Passover. I think everybody knows the context. Israel's in bondage in Egypt, and God is judging Pharaoh and doing this with the firstborn. And I just want to pull a few things out of Exodus 12. There's a whole bunch there. Maybe we'll do a whole study on it sometime. But the lamb that was chosen, it was to be without blemish. So it wasn't to be like your worst lamb. It was to be your best lamb, one of your best lamb. Like Christ for us, the perfect offering. And in a much smaller way, we as saints are supposed to try for our part of the covenant to be worthy and blameless, you might say, without blemish, if we can. And our part of the covenant, this is why Brother Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 11, before we partake of the Lord's Supper, to examine ourselves, lest we be found unworthily, lest we take of it unworthily. So that common sense says, if you can take of it unworthily, we should partake of it and be worthy. So the lamb was unblemished. We should try to be spotless and blameless for the Lord, not as a blood sacrifice, but as living sacrifices. We'll talk about that next. The lamb was to be totally consumed, burnt in the fire, eaten and then burnt in fire. And Romans 12 talks about us being living sacrifices unto him. So our whole lives are to be consumed by the Lord and his service and his word and us offering. We've talked a lot about going the extra mile, living every day. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So Romans 12 talks about us being that living sacrifice unto the Lord. And then some of the words from there. This one stood out at me. The blood is a token. In the Hebrew, that word means, that word is ath. And here's what it means. I just want to read what they've discerned what it means. In a sense, a signal. as a flag, a beacon, a monument, evidence, a mark, a miracle, a token, a sign, a signal, a distinguishing mark, a banner, a remembrance, a miraculous sign, an omen, a warning, token, standard, miracle, a proof. I think it's interesting that the blood of Christ is a token. It's like a mark. It's like a seal that is on his people. It's like the Holy Spirit tells us in Ephesians, we're marked, we're sealed by the Holy Spirit, and we're to be holy and we're to be separate from the world and separate from our man, fallen man and our flesh. The world does not know him. They can't know this, but his people know this. And so that's a token on our life. And get ready, God's going to see that token. We should see it in each other. The world should see it in us. And then the Father sees it as well. We'll keep going as we talk about that. And then I should have mentioned Christ's shed blood is the gospel. If anybody's listening to this, because we're audio recording this, we all know this and we preach it all the time. The blood of Christ is our beginning of our gospel. His resurrection is the good news. And by repentance, we come to him and we're born of his Spirit. And then we walk in holiness and obedience separate for him. And we endure in the faith. That's the gospel that marks us for Christ. And that's what it's kind of talking about here. His blood marks his people. Here's the point. On the doorpost it talked about. So they put the blood on each side of the door and over the doorpost. Think of that door as your life now. And he is now our covenant. We're in a blood covenant. And God sees our life with the blood of Christ marked on our door. The door of our life, our housing, our dwelling, our temple. We are the temple of God. So John 15 talks about we remain and abide in him. And 1 John 1 talks about living in the light, walking in the light. We're cleansed when we confess and we have fellowship. So this is what the blood of Christ does for us. It's an awesome, awesome thing. It's why we do this in remembrance of him, to ponder this. It's no small matter. Churchianity takes it very lightly, but we need to really ponder this. This is a solemn thing that we need to never take unworthily. And I like this part. God says, when I see the blood. When he sees the blood on our doorpost, today on our life, he spared the people of Israel from his wrath. And I always like to use Noah. Noah, by faith, built the ark, and works built the ark. He got in the ark. He was floated above the wrath of God. We get in Christ because of his shed blood. And because we're abiding, remaining in him, Christ is going to float us or help us overcome the wrath of the Father that we clearly deserve. We all deserve it. We know that. We could have never earned that. We don't teach works, but we teach we walk worthy in our part of the covenant because Christ has made a way for us. So by applying the blood on our lives through this gospel we talked about, faith, repentance, being born again, all God working in us, we can't do any of that on our own. Without him, we can do nothing. We are now a friend of God because of what Christ did in this shed blood in our lives. So ponder that blood on the doorpost on that first Passover, and then think about the blood on your life that the Father sees. Israel was spared from the wrath of God, and we're spared because of the blood of the Lamb. And it marks our holy lives as we seek and follow after Christ. John 1:29. The next day, John sees Jesus coming unto him and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So I just wanted to go over that first Passover meal. There's a lot there. Someday maybe I'll do a whole teaching, or one of the brothers can bring a whole offering of that. There's a lot of meat in there. But as the brethren, sisters, as children of the Most High, it's really important that we just contemplate that first Passover and then how it's been an archetype and it comes down to the new covenant and we're walking in it today. And now I want to read, before we pray, I want to read the words of our Lord as he offered the new covenant to us. Luke 22:15-20. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and he said, take this, and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God has come. And he took the bread, and gave thanks, and he brake it. And he gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also, the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. So ponder all of this, brethren. Ponder what we're doing. Ponder what we partake of. And let us walk worthy as individual children of God, because we answer to God alone with no one else one day in judgment. But we're walking through this life today as brothers and sisters, members of one another, so we can help each other walk worthy, help each other walk according to His will. And so I hope those words from Holy Scripture encourage you. Our God has made a way for us. He's cleansed us by the blood of the Lamb. He marks us with His seal, whether it be the blood or the Holy Spirit. And if we continue in covenant with Him, our Father will see us in Christ, and He'll float us and keep us from the wrath of God to come. Tribulation is coming in the world. We need to talk about this. We're not going to suffer the wrath of God if we're in Him. We will have to withstand the wrath of the culture and the wrath of Satan. And by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony, we will overcome if we love not our lives unto death. That's Revelation 12:11. So let's go to prayer and let's give thanks for what our Father has done before we partake.